The following programming is sponsored by Amendment 16 Limited. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to episode 150 of the Pennsylvania Project, our sesquicentennial episode. Say that five times fast. As you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, our vision is a better Pennsylvania. To achieve that vision, our mission is to boldly showcase the political, cultural, and environmental challenges facing contemporary Pennsylvania and to relentlessly pursue correct solutions. But, as we like to say, more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem, no matter how many rounds it takes. And no, I don't mean ammunition rounds. We have another argumentative episode planned for today. And like all episodes of the Pennsylvania Project, it's divided into three parts. You, them, and me. Part one is all about you, your questions, your opinions, your solutions, your whatevers. And rather than a call-in format, we utilize an email-in format. So if you have something to say, you can always drop us a line at pennsylvaniaproject.com. Today for the you part, we are going to skip our latest regular feature, which is unscripted cohorts, where I get hit cold with a question from our cohort. And I'll give you the details of why we're skipping it in a couple of seconds. We also have some breaking news from a listener about the vaccine card mandate in Pennsylvania. After the you part comes part two, the them part, where each episode we typically host a guest to help showcase the political, cultural, and or environmental issues facing Pennsylvania. Today, in honor of our 150th episode and following in the path of our gross episode number 144, we are going to stage a round two of host versus cohort. After that, assuming I survive, comes the me portion of the Pennsylvania Project. It will be my turn, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. I'll be focusing on some particular issue that really sticks in my craw. Today, I'll be ranting about how libertarian political victories have robbed me of some of my best material. And throughout the show, as is our long-established custom, we'll be featuring a Pennsylvania Toastmaster. And she'll be filling two roles today. She'll be serving as narrator to read our live commercials and as cohort to read and help respond to whatever comes into our mailbag. I don't know what you're smiling at. Today's cohort is making her eighth appearance on the Pennsylvania Project. She is Michelle Held, past president of the Professionally Speaking Toastmasters Club in my hometown of Abington. Welcome back to the Pennsylvania Project, Michelle.
Far away. Thank you.
There you go. And round two of host versus cohort, no less.
We have to have cohort versus host or something, you know. We reverse role sometime.
We can do that today. I don't care. Well, you're asking for trouble, aren't you? Well, that makes for great radio. At least I'm hoping it's going to make for great radio. We'll see. You know, ordinarily, I've been asking each cohort to bring along some unscripted question for impromptu response to keep me on my toes. Since the whole show is going to be unscripted, we're going to blow that off.
Yeah, the whole show.
Blow off the whole show?
Here's the evidence, the whole show, unscripted.
Oh, no, you've got it all scripted.
No, just thoughts, just ideas.
Yeah, okay. Well, tell you what, why don't we skip all the and get right to the listener question. Get that out of the way.
All right.
Unless there's some introductory stuff you want to throw out there.
No. We'll just go all together. All together. All right, so Stan from Lycoming County.
Our buddy.
It's a brief question.
He always does.
How about this? Philly has dropped its vaccination card mandates. And he sent a link to us, which I read. Did you read it?
I read the linked article. Yeah. I did not read the link. I guess I had to look at the link. No. Well, I got to thank Stan because that news is literally hot off the presses. It happened less than 24 hours ago. Yeah. For those of you who have not been listening to the Pennsylvania Project recently, or haven't been to Philadelphia for that matter, the city passed a regulation requiring that anyone visiting a bar or restaurant must show proof of vaccination or be denied entrance. It's a classic case of your papers, please, if you ask me, so don't ask me. And of course, it's hurt restaurant businesses horribly, not to mention Philly's reputation, which is tarnished enough. Well, earlier today, the city changed its threat level from extreme caution to all clear, which cleared the way for the drop of the evil mandate. It seems like a giant leap, doesn't it? From extreme caution to all clear all at once?
I don't know that we're all clear.
I don't know. Well, maybe there was never a need for extreme caution in the first place.
I'm a masker.
Don't get me started with that. Well, I'll get to that one later because I got part of the response here is part of that.
Anyway, over the last two episodes, we here at the Pennsylvania Project have been talking quite a lot about this issue. And if you were listening, you know, two Saturdays ago, I attended a snowy rally at Independence Mall in Philly, ostensibly to protest the vaccine card mandate. But if you listen to some of those recent shows, you know that the rally covered quite a bit more than that one topic. But I'm going to let that one go by because calls for violence have been beaten to death here. Pardon the pun. So are you a vaccine card mandate person, Michelle? Are you a your papers, please, lady?
I'm pro-mask.
I didn't ask that.
Yeah, I know you didn't ask that. I'm not against, you know, contact tracing the apps. I'm more of a privacy advocate.
I didn't ask you about contact tracing.
I'm getting to it. I'm trying to give you an all-around answer.
I didn't ask for an all-around answer. It's a Boolean question. Yes or no?
Would you ask? No, I'm not. I'm against it. I'm against asking for a vaccine card.
Yeah, there you go.
But for different reasons than you might be assuming.
Okay, why would that be?
It's way too easy to forge it.
Oh, that's yeah, absolutely
way
true.
Way too easy to forge
uh-huh.
it.
Uh-huh.
I think you should do the right thing and, you know, get your vaccine and not show up with your germs. You know, stay home if you're sick.
Well, what if somebody's right thing is obeying the word of their religion? Mm. Or what if their right thing is some medical cause?
I get you.
Well, what
so
do you mean?
If they
right
they,
is a relative word.
It's what's good for them, right? So that if they can't get a vaccine because of medical issues, sure. But then they're risking exposing themselves to
virus. Oh, that's true.
But
who takes that risk? They do.
As an individual, yeah.
Yeah.
I get you.
So now I'm not sure I got that exactly. You're against the cards, but
I'm against getting proofed at the door to show your card.
Okay.
But I would do it. So I've got my vaccine. Yeah. I got my booster. Yeah, I actually had COVID. I would definitely show my card if asked. If that's what the business wants, I'll do it.
All right. That's the way I would phrase it. If that's what the business wants, not if that's what some person's saying, you're going to do this. You will ask for
it. I also feel like I'm going to do the right thing and get my vaccine and stay home if I'm sick.
There's that word right again.
I think that's the right thing. It's the right thing for me.
There you go. So, right is a relative
and
word.
And I also think it's good for other people too.
You know, that's helped me out quite a lot in the political world. I have this quirk in my head that whenever I hear a relative word, the first question I ask is, in whose opinion? So when you say right in whose opinion?
Yes.
Oh, this is better. Well, better how?
Yeah.
Any of these relative words. And I used to do that to high-profile candidates in nationally broadcast debates and stuff.
Well, you could go one further and say, I feel that that's the right thing to do for you.
Yeah, but it means just as little. It doesn't say anything. You know? From my point of view, I look at it as property rights. It starts with you. You own yourself.
Okay.
So you can choose whether you're going to put something in your body or not. It's your choice.
Yes.
And if you want to walk around with a bag over your head, you can walk around with a bag over your head. And if you don't, you don't. It's your choice all the way down the line.
Yes.
It's only when you stop respecting the rights and property of others that it becomes a problem. I mean, that's hard libertarianism.
Well, so then let's say you don't feel it's the right thing to do to get your vaccine, and then you go into a crowd of people who do think it's the right thing to do for themselves.
Well, then they've gotten the vaccine, right?
Yeah, but it's not 100%. It's not 100% of preventing you from getting COVID. It just makes symptoms milder, and it's statistically can keep you from getting serious illness that puts you in the hospital.
So you
it's
think
not 100% proof.
You think that the masks and the vaccine are going to help?
Masks and a vaccine do help, yes.
Well, you know what? I was in the Jenkintown Acme last week, and they don't require masks. They don't require your papers, please, or anything like that. So when I went in there, I was exercising my right to show off my smile.
Yes.
And I'm walking down the aisle, and most people in there, they're masked.
Okay.
And this one lady, she walks by, and she says to the air, she says, I don't understand why some people don't wear masks.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It was meant for you.
You know me, though. I was going to let the opportunity go by. So I politely said to her, I could explain if you'd like to hear it. And you know what? She turned around, and she says, please.
Aw.
Yeah. So I told her all about Sweden,
okay,
about how they never locked down, yet they consistently came in fifth out of nine largest European countries in terms of per capita deaths from the virus.
Yes.
I told her that they remained fifth out of nine all through 2020,
yes,
all through 2021, and only a few months ago they fell to sixth out of nine,
yes,
which means they're a little bit safer. I told this lady that if masks made a difference, or any of the lockdowns or social distancing, if any of that made a difference, then Sweden should have been at the top of the death list. But they're not.
But we've discussed
Sweden
before.
They're not even close, and they stayed in the same place. Now, I told her that that means masks make no difference. Lockdowns make no difference. The whole kabuki dance of distancing is completely unnecessary. And if it was necessary, Sweden would be dead today.
But of course, you explained to her that Sweden's population is dispersed across the countryside, except for the capital itself.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter. They're not in contact with
each
other.
Then the capital would be dead.
That's a possibility. They did have an outbreak.
It would be a sure shot. Everybody had an outbreak. It's a pandemic. Everybody's had an outbreak. Well, you know what she told me?
Hmm.
Nothing. She's turned and walked away.
She said she's going to Sweden.
How dare I present her with facts? You know? Was I being rude?
You're not being rude, but you're not comparing apples to apples, though.
What's the apple I'm missing?
The apple is the population concentration. It does make a difference.
But they have a city of 1 million people. Wouldn't that city be dead?
But you have to...
Yes or no?
You can't... They wouldn't be dead. How many of them got sick? How many of them got hospitalized?
All right. Using those same numbers, I don't have the numbers in front of me. If we looked at the population density of Sweden, I would say the majority, let's go half.
Okay. We need the timer on right now.
Live in that city.
We're going.
half of them live in that city. Half the population of Sweden.
Is that true?
Well, pick a number. A quarter?
I don't know.
All right. Well, there's some large number. Yes. It's not.
I would just isolate Stockholm by itself.
Okay. You could do that. Mm-hmm. But it would have dragged down the rest of Sweden with it.
Why? If you just take who lives in the city and just look at their data.
The only data we have is Sweden. So the whole country would have been dragged down because of the population centers like Stockholm or something like that.
Yes.
But that didn't happen. Now, of these other nine largest countries, some of them are not very dense either.
Okay.
What were they? Norway? Denmark? Hmm. I mean, they're all the same. And I have the list, but it's not handy. But they'd still be dead. You'd see more people dead than the average. Yes?
I don't know. I would
you
have to look at the numbers.
Know.
I don't know. I'm not going to say. It's numbers I haven't seen, so I'm not going to guess at it.
You are tough nails, girl. All right. We're going to... I wish I had Mark here, man. have him look up the numbers. But I don't think that the per capita death rate would be dropping compared to all of its neighbors if Sweden was doing the wrong thing.
Got it.
I think you'd see something much, much more pointed.
Maybe they've all been sick.
There you go. Anyhow.
Onward.
Are we done with Sweden?
We're done with Sweden and
all
the
right.
EU.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what, why don't we leave it at that for the moment? But there's one item I wanted to get to before the break.
Okay.
And that is I was asked to make a correction on the air because it turned out I mentioned some incorrect information back in episode 146.
Okay.
And I go way out of my way to make sure that everything I say is sourced, properly sourced, and I heard that the other show who comes after us on Mondays, what's it called, Freedom Corn, that they were all over me because I mentioned them and saying, oh, they make unsourced statements.
Oh, you did. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't do that. Well, anyway, in episode 146, I was telling a story about the newsletter put out by the Libertarian Party of Pennsylvania and about how the editor went completely off the rails. And he slimed another party member in print, called him dishonest and things like that. And, I mean, this is, to my mind, it's libel. But I'm not a lawyer. I can't say for sure. I just thought it was totally uncalled for, so don't ask me. But my opinion is not necessary in this one because at the next meeting of the board of directors of the Libertarian Party of Pennsylvania, they fired his sorry butt as editor. And in my opinion, that was well-deserved, if you ask me. There's another relative word, deserved. So don't bother to ask me because you know what I'm going to say. Anyway, getting to my point here. The incorrect information that I passed along, I said that they barred him from holding any party office for the period of 1 year. Last night, I heard that the board did not put a time limit on it. Mm-hmm. So when I said 1 year, that was wrong. That number was proposed, but it did not pass. There was a motion, but it didn't go through. But bottom line is he's still barred from holding any office in the Libertarian Party of Pennsylvania, and I cannot say that that makes me unhappy. Now, were you here when we were talking about that before?
I feel you've definitely mentioned Corn or the Corn Show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is the Corn Show, unless you consider this editor Corn. I know. I would think so. Anyway, on that correctional note, that's going to have to do it for the U portion of episode 150 of the Pennsylvania Project. We're going to pause for this information, and when we return, it'll be round two of host versus cohort.
Did you hear the latest news? Almost two-thirds of all federal spending now goes to pay for the welfare state. More than $2.2 trillion, which just about equals federal income. Do you realize what that means? Virtually all tax revenue is now being consumed by the welfare state. But how do we rein in that runaway spending before it destroys America? The answer? The separation of society and state. That's the premise of the new novel, Atlas Snubbed, an unsanctioned parody sequel to Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged. Atlas Snubbed presents a workable alternative to the welfare state as we know it. Atlas Snubbed expertly extends Rand's epic story of a looter's world snubbed by the men of the mind, bringing to life a crumbling post-apocalyptic world where no one need ask who is John Galt, because now they know. Atlas Snubbed, available at all online bookstores or through atlassnubbed.com. Read it today before it's too late.
Here's an interesting question. What do you think of these three ideas? Number one, people have at all times an inalienable right to alter, reform, or abolish their government as they think proper. Number two, juries shall have the right to determine the law as well as the facts. Number three, the right of the citizens to bear arms in defense of themselves and the state shall not be questioned. Do those words sound like they're something taken from a Hollywood political thriller? They're not. They're all direct quotes from Article 1 of the Pennsylvania Constitution. Everyone has heard of the United States Constitution, but have you ever heard of the Pennsylvania Constitution? Have you ever read it? But most importantly, was it ever taught to you in school? If you're like virtually all Pennsylvanians, the answers are likely to be no, no, and no. Well, it's long past time we changed those answers to yes, yes, and yes. And you have a crucial part to play in making that come to pass. As you know, we here at the Pennsylvania Project are all about solutions. So we've authored a petition demanding that the Pennsylvania Constitution be taught to our children. If you believe it's important for our children to know how our state government works, head over to our website, PennsylvaniaProject.com, and add your name to the growing list of signers. And every time we accumulate another batch of signatures, we'll send a copy of the petition to the governor, the Pennsylvania Board of Education, and each and every one of the 500 school districts in Pennsylvania, asking them right now to start teaching our children the Pennsylvania Constitution. So please sign the petition at PennsylvaniaProject.com. The alternative is yet another generation that has never heard of, let alone read, the Pennsylvania Constitution. And people wonder why no one votes anymore.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to the Them portion of episode 150 of the Pennsylvania Project, where we typically host a guest to help showcase political, cultural, and or environmental issues facing Pennsylvania. But today, in honor of our sesquicentennial episode, I can't believe I said that twice, we are foregoing our guest in favor of round two of a knockdown, drag-out war between me and my cohort, Michelle Held. Last time we did this in episode 146, it was a real blast, especially since I repeatedly won.
Whoa.
And you want to do this again?
You know what you're just saying about how right is your own opinion?
Was that a Boolean question? You want to do this again?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a Boolean question. We're doing this again.
Yes. Do you recall any of the topics we covered last time?
Oh, boy. Well, we definitely did a little COVID. We talked about some business taxes. Like, I had the $70 save your name thing to pay.
Fictitious.
I paid it. Yep. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I was looking for my list.
I thought you would have brought it. And I was going to say, no, Farrell, you're looking at your notes.
I burned it last time. I have a new list.
And, you know, I was going to listen to that episode again just so I could come back and say, well, you know, the following questions you didn't ask or you didn't answer. You know, kind of like the Sweden one you've got here. I've got to write that down. Sweden.
We've talked about Sweden so much.
Sweden. Yeah, of course.
How about Hong Kong? They have an outbreak. Let's not do COVID. We have other things to talk about.
Well, I'm going to write down Sweden.
Hong Kong.
We need the population density for the next time, for round three.
Yeah. And can you get the data of Stockholm isolated from the rest of the country?
I go to worldometer.info.
Okay.
Worldometer.info.
Worldometer.
Yeah, and they break it down by country. I don't know they break it down by.
Okay.
And I hesitate to go another one because I've been using them for the last 2 years,
And my degree in physics tells me that if you're going to have an experiment, you should have everything as constant as possible.
All right, let's talk politics.
Why politics? It's always politics.
You're a politician.
I don't know.
Right.
Do you know the etymology of the word? Poly means many, and ticks are blood-sucking creatures.
It's a difference.
So politics are many blood-sucking creatures. Don't get me started.
Okay. Well, as you know, I've been trying to get Dr. Oz,
yeah,
on this show, who's non-responsive.
Oh, no.
So he's at Flyers games and stuff like that, but they will not respond to my email or my call. So I'm calling you out again. However, they are spamming my phone. So it's not like Dr. Oz doesn't know my number. I'm on the spam list. So there's my question. Should we be able to stop a politician from spamming your phone?
Absolutely. You know, it's your phone. Yes. You should be able to set it up so that you can allow people in or out. Matter of fact, you have that ability right now. Oh, there goes the bell. Time to change the subject.
No.
All right, what else you got?
No. No.
You're well, the one who suggested we have the timer here.
It's a technicality.
How long should I set it for?
Give it a minute. You can't quite stop them from spamming your phone.
Yes, you can.
No.
You can block their number.
I could block their number, yes. But then they can just like robocall from other numbers. So they're not allowed. So here's what it says. Political campaign-related auto-dialed or pre-recorded voice calls, including auto-dialed live calls, auto-dialed text, and pre-recorded voice are prohibited to cell phones. Without the party's prior consent, where they get away with it.
Yes.
Political campaign-related auto-dialed or pre-recorded voice calls are permitted when made to a landline phone.
I'm aware of the law.
So I can call your house.
Now, the reason why I'm aware of it is because I've run for high political office several times.
Mm-hmm. Governor.
Yep. And I've had my campaign manager and other people say, dude, I got a robo-dialer. And I've repeatedly said, no. Like, yeah, but it gets a no. I don't think it's a good idea. So if there's a politician out there who calls you on the phone, you should thank them. You say, I now know who I'm not going to vote for. Let's take a step back. The law that you're quoting, it has an exemption for political calls.
Yes.
Now, there's two sides of that.
Yes.
Number one is it stops arrogant politicians from bothering people who don't want to hear about it. But it's a freedom of speech issue. The politician should have the right to call you up.
Yes.
And anybody can pick up the phone. I just pick up my phone, dial random numbers, and start talking to these people.
But it looks like there's no exception for cell phones. I have to give my consent. For a landline, I don't have to give my consent.
Uh-huh. Well, who has landlines anymore?
I know. But anyhow, I'm still getting spammed. All right.
No, they should not be allowed to spam you. There should be some way that you could say, never do this to me again. And once that happens, it's like voter verifiable ballots.
You do have the do not call list, so.
Yeah, but obviously that's not
working.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
So it's a bad law. It needs to be fixed.
How about voter ID?
How about voter ID?
Should you have to show ID to vote?
Generally speaking, I would say no.
Okay.
Unless, now you're talking about the mail-in votes, right? You're not showing any ID
for that. Well, I'm going to go on. We're going to talk about
that. Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute because that's a problem.
Yes.
One of the nice things about not having mail-in votes is that when you...
It's not even turned on.
You said set it for
a
minute.
It's possessed.
We still have time for the last question.
All right, voter ID.
All right. You go to your neighborhood place.
Mm-hmm.
In my local town, we have maybe 500 households.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like fewer than 1,000
okay.
per polling place. And when I go in there, I know the people behind the desk. They know me.
Yes.
And if it's somebody new, oh, hi, you knew the neighborhood and everything like that. And that's it. And the same person is there. You're required to sign your name without seeing what your signature looks like or anything like that.
Yes.
There is a degree of verification. But so it's already there.
Yes.
And this whole mail-in thing, which is recently found unconstitutional, that takes that away. So, no, I don't think you need to show a picture. You know,
My polling place also has two nice ladies who have been there forever and know everybody. They
exactly.
are much better than actual.
Exactly.
But it's not the case for everybody. It's not the case.
No,
for everybody,
and you wouldn't know everybody too because people move in and out. It
okay.
depends upon your neighborhood as well.
How do you feel about early voting?
Early, I like it. I don't think it should just be Tuesday. Yeah.
Okay.
No, why should it just be on one day? Let's put it that way. What problem does it solve to have it on one day? It makes it cheaper. Makes it easier.
Yes.
But, you know. If you wanted to do it on a different day, then No reason why not.
It should span multiple days at least.
Yeah. I would just, first of all, I would just move it to a Saturday.
I would just have a whole week.
Sure.
So lots of people work on Saturdays.
Have you ever worked the polls?
I have.
Oh, and you're going to doom somebody?
I've been a poll watcher and I've been a candidate.
You're going to do, what did you run for?
A school board.
Oh, man. Yeah. So you're going to doom somebody to 7 13-hour days in a row?
No. You get different people, but it's hard to get people to work the polls.
It is.
Yeah.
Because it's an elected position in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. The judge of elections who runs the polling place and two inspectors of election who assist. And we libertarians, in the last election, we elected 140 people. Yes. If somebody's going to send in a nasty, it's 140, and stop 150. But we elected them. A lot of them were judges of elections, inspectors of elections.
Yes.
At the starting level.
Anything against early voting? Extended, but let's call it extended voting. Do you have any cons? I have a couple cons.
A con to it? Yeah. No, I just told you one. You're dooming somebody to 7 13-hour days.
All right. So for like mail-in, what if you mail in your ballot and then your candidates say they drop out? Or they're disqualified somehow. You've kind of wasted your vote because you mailed in.
Oh, no. Well, you know, that's really, really pushing the edge. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very familiar with the election laws.
Yeah.
And what you're talking about here is right on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first of all,
that's why we're here.
More important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem. Okay. The correct problem to solve here is get rid of mail-in ballots. Mm. There's so many reasons why they're bad.
So you want early walk-in voting, but you won't do mail-in. That's what you're saying.
Yeah,
clarify. Okay.
Sure. I agree with extending the mailing.
Okay.
But not the mailing, the voting.
Voting, okay.
But not the mailing. Mailing is easy to defraud them. Uh-huh. My wife got 7 mail-in ballots.
Nice.
Right? Now, what has she mailed?
All in her name?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I got I was throwing mine out as they're coming in because there's just no, well, shredding them. I don't let them get away. But what if somebody grabbed it? What if somebody grabbed it out of the mailbox? Because it says, you know, return address, voting material, be careful. You know? Damn it. Why don't they put it in a brown paper bag like they do with that adult stuff? You know? But they don't. But how do they know who sends it in? Where's your voter verification at that point? You don't send in a picture of your driver's license or anything like that.
Right.
How do they know it's you? We had, I guess it was 3 episodes ago, Roy Manette, our voting methodologies expert.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through, again, all of the horrible things because the court had just thrown out mail-in ballots. They're now illegal in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Trump was right. The election has been stolen. And we also had another one of our cohorts, Ed Metz, up in Monroe County. He ran for coroner. He won. It was a Dewey defeats Truman situation where all of a sudden, a day later, they brought in, out of nowhere, millions of, I don't know what the millions was, what the number was, but more than enough to tip the balance the other way. Now he lost.
Got it.
Now, his election or non-election is now in doubt because who knows who sent those in? Courts already said they're illegal. They can't do it. So, of course, Governor Big Bad Wolf is appealing that. That's just the way he is with those things.
All right.
So, anyway, get rid of the mail-in ballots. They're easy to defraud people. You don't have those two nice little old ladies sitting behind the table who know you. And you've skipped over the whole question of the vote, the ID, showing ID when you vote. It's just not there.
Well, yeah. So if they don't know you, what about voter ID? What about a form of ID? So you have to show ID?
No.
Because you don't have to.
We already talked about this.
Okay.
Because you sign the book and they compare your signature.
Okay.
So you would have to know the signature in advance. I mean, now you're getting pretty fancy. And if the person comes in to vote, I didn't vote yet. Next thing you know, it's on the front page of the Inquirer.
Got it.
There are ways around it. Boy, I'm winning here.
But so many people don't vote, though. It would be easy just
I know. You just read the commercial.
Right?
That's because they don't know what they're voting for.
Got it. Okay.
And there's a lot of false rumors about that saying, oh, I don't want to do jury duty because if I vote. Well, they go other places. They go to driver's licenses. And
yeah. So no mail-in, extended walk-in.
Yep.
Little old ladies ID you. And your signature is all the ID you need. That's
correct.
That's what I got.
Because if you sign it.
There's a cup flying around back there.
How long have you been seeing cups flying around?
Picking up.
Because if I sign my name and it's not me, that's fraud.
I'm
going to jail.
Well, so is casting the ballot. That's fraud by itself.
That's true.
Sure.
So it's not something
people. Or stealing your mail.
Correct.
That's fraud.
It's not something people do lightly. And I'm amazed how mail has only recently, it's only been with Amazon that. This stuff, the porch pirates have come about.
Porch pirates.
Yeah, before that.
Do you have the Postal Service mail scan? Do you do that? Like I get a scan of the mail I'm getting every day. comes to me in email. You can do that. Informed delivery.
No. Why would you'd be surprised at the amount of mail I get. I get a prodigious amount of mail.
Ugh.
Because I have I own individual stocks and I deal directly with the companies.
Get it electronically delivered.
I see, but that's got its own problems with electronic delivery. First of all, it's more spam, right? You're talking about phone spam. What about email spam?
Email spam's another story. All right.
Well, hang on.
Okay.
We're gonna have to pause this.
Pause. Okay.
I'm your coffer. I'm your caster, Ken Krawchuk, and you're listening to episode 150 of the Pennsylvania Project. We'll be right back after this information with more of round two of host versus cohort.
Are you a small business owner always looking for referrals? Do you have a streamlined approach to getting new referrals? Contact Stephen Worley to learn the fast, easy way to generate new referrals. Stephen has the all-inclusive system that will help you generate an extra 5 to 10 customers per week without spending a single dollar on ads. You won't have to create a website, have photos taken, or write a single ad. Stephen will take the headache out of the process. Contact him at stephenworley.com. That's Stephen with a V. Stephen with a V. W-E-R-L-E-Y.com. You're making me laugh.
It's not hard. Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, caster of the Pennsylvania Project. You know, it's easy to find a high-paying job. At least for some people it is. Employers are begging for competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. But do those words describe you? Competent leader? Communicates effectively? If not, or even if they do, you may want to consider joining Toastmasters. The mission of Toastmasters is to provide a supportive experience for learning communication and leadership skills. But does it really work? Hey, look at me! I joined Toastmasters and now I've got my own radio show! So turn your life around like I have. Visit Toastmasters.org and contact a club near you. Visitors are always welcome, and be sure to mention that you heard it first on the Pennsylvania Project radio show. The future is anxiously awaiting competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. You can be that leader. It all starts at Toastmasters.org.
Are you a country music fan and tired of hearing the same sounds recycled by different artists? Ray Raddick is a breath of fresh air for country music. After opening for Miranda Lambert and Brett Young, her EP is taking country music by storm. A combination of beautifully written songs combined with well-executed music makes her a must-listen. You can find her on all streaming platforms and social medias. That's Ray with an E to electrify your heart. Learn more about RayRaddick.com. That's RayRaddick.com. I owe you.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, coughing here, and we're back with episode 150 of the Pennsylvania Project with the final bout of round two of host versus cohort, and our cohort, Michelle Held, who is holding her own.
I'm laughing.
Unless you want to give up yet.
No. I don't look at this as a win or lose. We're discussing. And you're trying to make me laugh, and it's not fair because it's working.
I got another one up my sleeve. Where do we get there? Excuse me. I'm just getting over a cough. And you know, it's funny
it's
reading that
dust.
About that high-paying job stuff because in exactly, let me look at the clock, in exactly 7 days, 20 hours, and 23 minutes.
We're getting a raise?
I'm retiring.
From everything?
Retiring from my, I'm going to stop solving other people's problems for money. That's how I'm phrasing it.
Okay.
So I've been an information technology consultant since, I got my first job as a COBOL programmer at the age of 17.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure enough is enough. Mortgage is paid off, you know, yeah. Common business-oriented language.
I didn't know what that stood for.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of other ones. CICS, that's always the big question. What does that mean?
CICS, I don't know that one either.
Yeah. Customer Information Control System.
Okay.
Are you an IT person?
A little bit. I program PHP, MySQL, SQL databases.
What does PHP stand for?
Oh, I don't even, actually don't know.
I thought we were going to talk about politics.
We're going to talk more about politics. Lobbying reform.
Lobbying reform. Oh, this is good. We touched on this earlier.
Should a lobbyist have to go to ethics training?
Wait a minute. You're using undefined terms. I am a lobbyist. Okay. I call my...
Are you a registered lobbyist?
No. Why should I have to register?
Well...
I get on the phone. I call Ben Sanchez. I say, okay. Ben, reopen Pennsylvania. I don't have to ask permission to call him. I went to his house. I stood in front of his house with a megaphone and a sign saying, Ben, get your butt out here and
answer to us.
Did it come out?
No, no. And only, you know, we went to 9 different state reps, okay, and only 2 of them came out.
Okay.
And I'm not going to remember their names, and I'm going to get it wrong.
You should give him credit for coming out.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's still dead wrong. He shut Pennsylvania down. We already talked about Sweden. There's no need for all of that.
No Sweden.
Keeps coming back to that.
Get your T-shirts as Sweden.
There's no need for the whole kabuki dance.
All right, anyway, registered lobbyist. You're a citizen with an opinion. Registered lobbyist.
Why should I? You didn't answer my question. Why should I have to register?
You shouldn't have to register.
So why should anybody have to register?
Because.
Register with whom?
You would
the
register
church?
With the state.
Why?
Because you're sponsored by a company.
It doesn't matter.
It does
Listen,
matter.
I want to reopen Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. All right. And I go, Michelle, do you want to reopen Pennsylvania? Let's assume you say yes. We'll talk about that for 10 minutes, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Want to reopen Pennsylvania? I said, but listen, I'm doing this radio show. I don't have time. Okay. Tell you what, I'll fill your car with gas if mm-hmm. you drive around and you get park in front of Ben Sanchez's house and beep the horn and say, Ben, reopen Pennsylvania. All right, whatever.
Okay.
But the point is, I've paid you something.
Yes.
Now, I've got to tell the state that I've been talking to you and I've given you a tank full of...
Oh.
You're the one who suggested that, girl. Why should I have to talk to the state? Do I need the state's permission to talk to the state?
Okay.
Yes or no?
You, as a private citizen, do not.
All right. I'm a private citizen, and I'm talking to you as a private citizen.
If I'm a hired gun from a company, I should
have
to register.
I'm not a hired gun. What's this is negative connotation?
It's not.
I'm another citizen, and I'm going to do this.
That's fine.
I'm going to do this for you.
Okay.
But, you know, I've got a day job, at least I do for the next 7 days, mm-hmm. 22 hours, and whatever. And I'm going to need compensation for that. Why do you have to tell the state you're going to compensate
for that? Is
there
a floor on how much you can be paid or in kind donations?
You didn't answer
to
my question. Why should I have to register at all? I don't care what the number is.
Because you're being paid. It becomes a job for you.
Why does that matter?
It matters because you can bring in outside. So politicians and the state should respond to people who live in the state.
Of course.
Or people who are affected by what we do.
Of course.
Maybe people on the border.
I would agree with that.
But if
and
you're...
You know, Libertarian Party's going through that right now in Pennsylvania. We got a bunch of carpetbaggers who are coming to our convention in 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
And running for Senate.
No, they're going to vote and they're going to try and tip the balance.
Okay, so now if you have, we'll use the phrase or term, carpetbagger lobbyists, so people who are
don't call them lobbyists.
They're not citizens. They're...
Well, wait a minute. Okay. Let's take a giant step back here.
Okay.
There's somebody... Who wants to
influence
legislation?
Yes.
Yes. So I'm in front of Ben's house. I got my megaphone.
You are okay? Ken, the PA resident.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. Now, why can't I bring in our daughter who's in Seattle, right? Bring her in. She's a Seattle resident.
Yeah.
And I think you mean domicile. Resident.
Domicile.
Right now, you're a resident of Bala Cynwyd. When you go back home, you're going to be a resident of someplace else.
Yeah.
Domicile is the word you want.
Okay.
Why does it matter?
I feel that politicians should respond to people who live here.
I agree.
That's their responsibility.
Right. Who's paying them?
Who is paying the politicians?
No. Well, yeah, we don't know that.
Yeah,
one, right?
That's right. Well, that's part of this question.
No,
right. So
the whole thing is a freedom of speech issue.
Yes.
Can I do with my money what I want to do with my money?
You can do it with your money.
Okay. Suppose I
but
want to give it to
be
somebody.
Aware of it, just like campaign contributions have to be recorded and made public.
I think that's wrong too.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to know where you're getting your money from.
Why?
Not
it's
you.
None of your business.
It is your business. I want to know who has you in their pocket.
It doesn't matter.
It does.
What is important is what am I saying?
Yes.
So you're solving the wrong problem.
No.
The correct problem to solve is not who's paying you.
Okay.
The correct problem to solve is what are they saying? By their fruit shall they be known. If I get up there and say, oh, I don't know, end the lockdown. Right, we'll pick that because we agree on that one, right?
Okay.
End the lockdown. Who cares who's paying me? I'm here saying end the lockdown. If I, all of a sudden, I'm doing commercials wall to wall.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you change the channel, there's Ken again saying, end the lockdown, end the lockdown, end the lockdown. That's the message. You know, Ken is saying it. It's Ken. It's end the lockdown.
But what if I see that Ken is saying, no, no vaccines, no vaccine cards, but I see he's just getting a ton of money from J&J or
I would
Merck.
Not, somebody would not say that unless I have a reason to say it. It doesn't matter who I'm getting it from. And by the way, full disclosure, I am a Pfizer shareholder and J&J.
Okay, I've neither.
Okay.
I have different pharmas, unrelated.
Okay. So here we are. We're both pushing for our pharmas. And the lockdown's got nothing to do with the pharmas. That's a whole other story. No, it doesn't matter. What matters is what they're doing,
okay,
not who's paying them. So I'm against all
that. So you're against registering the lobbyists, against campaign donation disclosure.
You know, when I was running for governor, I was at the Philadelphia Inquirer editorial board interview.
Okay.
Right? And the guy says to me, Chris Cetullo, I guess his name was.
No.
The guy, the editor-in-chief, he says to me, Ken, what do you think of campaign finance reform? I looked him square in the eye. I said, I'm in favor of it. And then there was silence. And he smiles. He says, all right, how do you see reform taking place? Right? That's another one of those, subjective words.
Sure.
But boy, it was pretty funny. That little smile that I got from him, it was worth it.
I've learned not to ask you questions like that.
Like
moving
what?
On.
Okay.
An open question like that. How do you feel about it? You're like, go for it. Power generation reform. So New York City is banning.
Wait. Power generation? Do you mean electricity?
Yeah. So okay. I want to move. If a state wants to push electricity, and so New York City is banned.
Why is a state pushing electricity? Let's make sure we're solving the right problem.
New York City has made legislation.
What right do they have to make legislation about power?
Well, okay, so there's my question: Are you for or against banning natural gas? Gas?
I don't ban.
So you?
No. All
you
I'm
want.
In. I'm not against things. I'm in favor of things.
Okay.
I'm in favor.
Are you favor of all electric? How's that?
I'm in favor of people living their lives their own way, as long as they respect the rights and property of others.
Okay.
So now, if that means somebody's going to be burning old tires in their backyard, well, obviously that's hurting the environment. That's not respecting the rights and property of others.
Okay.
If they're going to be putting gasoline in their cars, well, now we're starting to cross a line here. Now, if electric generation,
yes,
solar cells and stuff like that, I'm definitely in favor of that.
Yes.
I mean, who wouldn't be? There's a giant fusion reactor in the sky, and it's there every day. And power's free.
Sun.
It's raining soup. Grab a bucket.
Did I tell you I drove a Tesla test drive today?
No.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I liked it. So I went to Cherry Hill, New Jersey. I drove the Model 3.
Uh-huh.
And very nice car.
I have too.
Yeah.
I just love it.
Yeah.
And by the way, full disclosure, I'm a Tesla shareholder.
Sure, a Tesla shareholder, but not a Tesla owner.
Correct. But I do have a deposit down on a Cybertruck.
You do? You're on the list. Huh?
Yes. Well, I bought Tesla stock back in 2014. I started collecting it. Couple shares at a time, back when it was $30, $40 a share.
So you can use that money to buy your truck.
Well, I used that money a year ago to retire our mortgage,
okay,
to pay off our daughter's student debt.
Nice.
And we still have tons of it left. So.
Okay.
So maybe you're asking the wrong person. But no, I think it's the future.
Okay. So you're going to buy the Cybertruck?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I said, we got a deposit. I can't wait.
But you're not against, but you're not in favor of banning natural gas.
I don't have the right to ban anything. Where did I get that power?
Well,
if I'm against Tesla, I won't buy a Tesla.
Okay.
I'm against internal combustion engines.
Well, not you, the power, the state. The state banning.
Where did the state get that power?
Because they're the state, they do that stuff.
No.
Zoning.
I have my constitution right here. You show me where in there it has the power to do it. And I'll show you several lines to say you don't have that power.
So it's like you're saying the state doesn't have power, the ability to make zoning laws?
Correct.
And building codes?
Correct.
Of course they do.
No. They don't. And if you look through here, it's not in here.
No building codes.
That's correct. And if you go and you look at Houston,
okay,
one of the largest cities in America, they do not have any zoning.
Really?
Really.
None at all. At the state level, but I bet you at the township level, city level, no?
No,
nothing.
At the Houston level.
No,
the city of Houston, no zoning.
Does the state have anything?
I have no idea. This is the Pennsylvania project.
Well, you knew about the city.
That's true. That's because we libertarians, we talk about how bad zoning is all the time. Because what they do is you got politicians now controlling the price of your property, the cost of your property.
Okay.
And if they change it, all of a sudden they're making money just by writing a little piece of paper. The opportunity for fraud is immense.
Oh, absolutely.
And I do mean immense. You know what?
No commercials.
No, it's not no commercials. I'm even going to go one step beyond this. And if Mark were here, he would say, what? Because I'm going to make that executive decision, and I'm going to blow off the rant at the end.
Wow.
Yeah, because we really have to keep this up. I'm telling you. There's just a lot more good stuff. And we can come back and pick that up as soon as we get there. All right. Hey, I'm your caster, Ken Krawchuk. You're listening to a very special episode 150 of the Pennsylvania Project.
We'll be right back after this information with even more from round two of Host versus Cohort.
The following is a commercial announcement.
Hey, Ken, how's it going?
Well, bad, Michelle, really bad.
Why? What's the matter?
Our friends at the Infernal Revenue Service paid me a personal visit the other day.
The Infernal Revenue Service?
Yeah, call them what they are. They sent these two big brutes to the house and scared us all half to death.
I bet. What do they want?
Money. Lots of it, too. You remember that part-time gig I took on last summer?
Oh, yeah, you were raking in some big bucks.
Yeah, and all those big bucks went straight into my personal bank account. Turns out the IRS doesn't like that. And I didn't file any of the right forms or pay nearly enough in taxes. So they want it all now, right now, plus penalties and interest.
Ouch. Sounds like you should have called Amendment 16.
Hey, it's that damn 16th Amendment that got me in this predicament in the first place.
No. Amendment 16, the invoicing service, they'll invoice your client for the hours and expenses you report to them. And when your client pays them, they pay you, minus all required state and federal taxes. It's that easy. One call does it all, and they'll even have an accountant do your personal taxes for you come April Fool's Day. Come April 15th.
I don't believe it. And they take care of all the taxes, all the forms.
Yep, and they can pass along certain tax breaks, too.
Man, I wish I knew about Amendment 16 sooner. Where can I find them?
On the web, of course, at amendment16.com, with 16 spelled out. That's Amendment 16. SIXTEEN.com. One call does it all.
Am I forgiven? I hope so. Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and we're back with episode 150 of the Pennsylvania Project with the final bout of round two of Host versus Cohort. We're going extra innings, I guess. And our cohort, Michelle Held, who doesn't like Boolean questions. You're going to give up now?
I've never given up.
Never give up.
Never get up.
No. All right, I'm ready.
All right.
I've been around the block, girl. You can't shake me.
Okay, let's talk weed.
Yeah, and you like my shirt? I wore this for my rant today.
What is that? You're beating somebody in a wheelchair?
Yeah,
what is going on?
That's a cop.
Okay.
With a nightstick, and he's beating over the head a guy in a wheelchair, and there's a marijuana leaf next to it.
Okay.
Because that's what they do. They persecute sick people.
Ah, well, that's good. So here's my question.
What's good to persecute
sick
people?
No, there's a Boolean answer for you, too.
What's up?
All right. We have the home grow bill. Senator.
Why do we need a home grow bill?
Laughlin and
it's a weed.
All right. 60% of Pennsylvania voters back adult use weed legalization.
They were high at the time when they voted for that.
Okay. So what we want to know, are you for it? Weed legalization.
I believe you have the right to live your life your way without interference, provided you respect the rights and property of others.
Okay.
We have the right to keep and bear plants.
Okay.
So I just don't see the state has any role in this at all.
You bear the plants, like birthing the plants, like bear it on your hip.
That was a joke. That's one of my sound bites.
All right.
I got all kinds of pot sound bites too.
So home grow is for medical marijuana users.
Now, why
are
you limited
their
to them?
Own.
Why have it?
It's just a different
segment. I'm in favor of anybody growing their own pot.
Okay. Anybody.
Anybody.
Doesn't matter the use. Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Because right now we only have medical marijuana legalized.
In Pennsylvania, right? Yeah. Isn't that a shame?
Yeah.
Do you know how many criminals that they've made? How many people have been denied a scholarship because they happen to be caught with a joint?
Yeah.
Do you know how many people have had their cars confiscated, their house confiscated? I like to tell the story about Shorty's Bar. There are people doing drugs in his bar, and he didn't like it. He called the cops on them. They seized his bar because he knew there was drug dealing going on there. It's terrible what they've done with these drug laws. End the war on drugs.
So let's say we legalize marijuana. We're going to make money from taxes off of ICE.
No, don't get me started on taxes.
You
you're changing
tax?
The subject.
Do you want to? I'm not because I have a nice smooth segue to the next question.
So you
already said you're for weed. Everybody should have it.
Yes.
Weed for all.
No, nobody should be hassled for it.
No, you should be hassled for your weed.
I don't say everybody should have it.
Do we tax it? If it's coming from a dispensary.
I believe you have the right to live your life your way, provided you respect the rights and property of others.
Okay.
Michelle, let me put it this way. If I took your wallet,
yes,
I'd be a thief.
Yeah.
If me and Brett and Mike in the next room, if we all got together and beat you up and took your wallet, we'd all be thieves.
And yeah.
But somehow, when it's Balakinwid, or Philadelphia. I was just there this afternoon. Beautiful place. But if they suddenly pass a law and they say, oh, well, we can take your money, well, we cross the line.
Mm.
It's still theft. They're taking your money without your permission. Okay. And if you fight them back, They'll put you, they'll send men with guns to put you in a cage.
We got that, yeah.
So when you say, am I in favor of taxes?
Yeah.
I don't care if it's weed. I don't care if it's cars. I don't care what it is. Okay. I'm against it. I think taxation is theft.
So no taxes. Okay.
Of any kind. Correct. I like user fees better.
User fees. Okay. Yes. So a toll. You're in favor of toll booths. That's a use fee.
Yeah, like we have now. The gas tax is probably the worst named best thing we have.
Okay.
Because if you use the roads, you buy gas.
Sure.
If you don't use the roads, you don't buy gas.
Okay.
It's the same thing with the Pennsylvania Game Commission. If you buy a license, it goes to pay for the maintenance of the game lands. If you don't buy a license, you don't. Mm. If you're not a hunter, it doesn't matter. If you're not a driver, you're not paying for it. If you're not a hunter, you're not paying for it. That is what I would like to see.
Okay. Let's go back to electric vehicles again.
Okay. Boy, I'm scoring points here.
No, you're okay. You're okay. All right. So what should we as a state or Pennsylvania residents?
All right. 12.5 million people.
Okay. What should we do to increase the network of electric chargers for cars?
What should we do?
Yeah.
Well, we should stop our politicians from putting their thumb on the scale of the free market.
Okay.
And right now, the best thing that I could do is to have them stop subsidizing gas and oil.
Okay.
And they do that in all kinds of different ways. A lot of that's more on the federal level, but Pennsylvania does that too.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that Pennsylvania is good about is they're not taxing fracking.
Okay.
Because that's putting their thumb on the scale. Other states do this. So what happens is Pennsylvania does more business. There's more people have to do more jobs, honest jobs for people, and they're making honest money. It grows the economy. The people go down to the local corner store and buy a beer. It's good for it.
Okay.
Taxation is evil.
So what should we do to increase the network of chargers, or should we have nothing to do with it?
Yeah, we have nothing to do with it. I already told you that.
Because we have some on the turnpike and stuff.
I know. And did you see they all say Tesla?
Uh-huh, I did see that.
Know. There's another group called Charge America or something like that.
Okay.
I forget who they are. But somebody did a cross country. He's not a Tesla guy. He's like, I was really annoyed. He has a Ford Mach-E. It's an electric Mustang,
mm-hmm.
which is not quite as good as a Tesla, but that's all right. It's a good car anyway.
Yes.
But he tried to go across America. He said the worst part was exactly that, the charging situation.
Yeah.
So what Tesla is doing is they're opening up their superchargers to anybody. Mm-hmm. They're getting adapter plugs and everything like that. So the free market is already solving that problem.
Got it.
If you go in there now and say, all right, here's a bucket of money, all of a sudden now you're harming Tesla. You're harming Electrify America, whoever these other people are. The people who are already established in there, you're bringing in 12.5 million people worth of stolen money to tip the free market in their direction. And that's wrong.
So now what I think I'm hearing is that you don't want the state influencing private business.
Correct.
Don't want them tipping the scale. So,
period.
New Jersey.
The
state of New Jersey exempts EVs from sales tax, and there are rebates.
I don't like the rebates because that way they're taking they're taking stolen money and giving it to other people.
Because other people are paid for that rebate. Okay, so California has a clean vehicle rebate, plus they have financing deals.
Same.
Should Pennsylvania do anything to encourage you to buy an electric vehicle?
Have you been listening to what I said?
I listen to what you say.
What am I going to do? I'm going to take your money and give it to somebody else because they bought an electric car?
Well, if I don't charge you, because you're against tax, and if I don't charge you sales tax to encourage you buying that car, I didn't steal anything.
The removal of a threat is not a value.
But you are against taxes, so that's getting you closer to the thing that you want, solving the right problem, in your words.
I could hear the objectivists out there cheering. The removal of a threat is not a value. I'm going to stick a gun to your head unless you go buy that car.
No.
Yes, that's what you're saying.
No, I'm not. I'm saying.
When you say taxes, you're saying you're holding a gun to somebody's head. How else are you going to pay it? If you didn't have to pay taxes, would you pay them?
No, of course not.
They have to hold a gun to your head to get you to do it. See, you are saying that.
Well, they don't let me register the car if I don't pay the tax.
Why should you have to register cars? Don't get me started, girl. You got me rolling.
Well, it does improve highway safety. No. No, you're using the timer to your advantage.
No, well, this is getting serious now. It's because we got Brett in the other room and everything like that. Oh, we got about a
Brett?
Minute. We got about a minute.
That's it?
We got.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe a minute and 20 some seconds.
Should you have to have a driver's license?
No.
No driver's license.
No. And you know what? If you read Atlas Snubbed, it's all in there about that.
So just cut you loose.
No.
No, not at all.
If you're in Sweden, you'd have to take a really long course to get your driver's license.
I don't see why. You know, we'll have to save that for round three.
Mm. Is that an invitation?
I can see it. Yeah. Michelle, you're wonderful. Not many people stand up to the beating that I like to give people, you know? Do you have anything in summarize? Because I don't want to
summarize. Oh gosh, we're going to get in the state pension fund, income tax, no. All kinds of tax.
No. I want a closing statement from you.
A closing statement.
Yeah. I mean, why do you do this?
Is this fun?
You think I'm off base?
I don't think that you're off base. It is fun. It's definitely entertaining, but it's, let's say, past 4 or 5 years, it's difficult to find someone who can discuss political issues or even differences of opinion calmly with facts without getting like angry or defensive.
I'm calm.
We're all calm. So it's nice to have an actual conversation with you.
And you know, I was in a work situation where this one guy was always angry and he was always yelling stuff and everything like that. So, and it's all, shut up. It's all Zoom situations. So what I started doing is I started recording all the meetings, and all of a sudden he got so nice.
Because he heard him, how he sounds?
No, because he knew that he could play it against them. Yes. Anyway, so you're being recorded too, so we're going
to
play this
and aired later on.
Michelle, I got to thank you. This has been fun. Yeah. You're exercising my ability, and I think I've answered everything.
And Ken has no idea what I'm going to ask. He has actually no idea. I do, but he doesn't. Uh-huh. He doesn't know.
Well,
I
always go back to my touchstone. Okay. You have the right to live your life your way without interference, provided only you respect the rights and property of others. On that libertarian note, that's good. The bell's not ringing. Anyway, that's going to have to wrap it up for episode 150 of the Pennsylvania Project.
That went fast.
What do you think about vaccine card mandates, wayward party members getting their comeuppance, or any Pennsylvania-related thing? If you have something to say, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at PennsylvaniaProject.com right after you sign our education petition, that is. And you can hear us there, too, as well as on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and a plethora of other popular podcast providers. Today's episode is courtesy of Amendment 16 Limited and produced live in the studios of WWDB Radio, broadcasting in Philadelphia at 860 on the AM dial every Monday at 3 p.m., among other times. And now on WPEN 97.5 FM HD2 in Burlington, New Jersey. I should stop saying that. It's not brand new. Each episode is also released as a podcast every Monday at PennsylvaniaProject.com. Our webmaster, Stephen Worley, featured Toastmaster cohort and narrator and all-around good guy, Michelle Held, official bartender, Tom Kehoe, keyboard wizard, Joe the Pag, radio producer, Brett Kronberg and Mike Cherico, executive producer, Mark Bazzacco, who's not here again, and me, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. Thanks for joining us. And remember, more important than solving the problem correctly is to
solve the right problem.
Correct problem.
Solve the correct
right
problem.
And correct are two different things.
Okay.